No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I hope my show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So you can either text us a question or you can call in if you want to ask a question at 888-627-6008. Tonight, we have a great guest. We have Hannah Rosenzweig. Hannah is an award-winning documentary director, a longtime producer, and the founder and president of Intention Media. She is the director of a new film, 51st State, which we want to talk to her about, which recently premiered at the DC DOX Documentary Film Festival. Hannah produced and directed the critically acclaimed feature documentary Surge, which premiered on Showtime and is now streaming on Amazon and Apple TV. She produced the award-winning Puppet film, which premiered at DOC New York City and was distributed on Netflix and Sundance Selects. She has produced and filmed documentaries for National Geographic TV, the History Channel, Sundance TV, and PBS, including the award-winning Voices of Civil Rights. And we're so happy that she took time out of her busy schedule to be here tonight with us. Hannah, welcome to the show, and thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've seen lots of documentaries made on, well, not documentaries, but short films and commercials and things like that. And we've never had anybody with your credentials do something, to my knowledge, in the 18 years that I've been here. And it shows in every aspect of this short film you put together. This is so professionally done. The music's so good. It really is another level. So let me ask you, first of all, how did you get interested in this issue, which unfortunately for us tends to be more of a parochial issue than a national issue, civil rights issue? How did you get involved?
Well, funnily enough, I'm actually a New Yorker. I live in New York, and I'm in a chorus called the Resistance Revival Chorus, and we were invited to sing at a New Yorkers for DC Statehood event in April of 2021. And we, funnily enough, also had to learn for this event, we had to learn the song that you play in your open by Sweet Honey in the Rock.
Oh, yeah, it's a great song. Yeah, go
it's
ahead.
Such
I'm sorry.
A good song. We also learned another statehood song to sing, and we performed at this event. And then I met Jamal. The event was sponsored by 51 for 51, his organization, the organization Jamal Holt started. And we talked after the event and hit it off. And I thought this was such an incredible story of his activism and him being a native Washingtonian. Telling the story of what it was like to grow up without a vote and to really have generations of his family that hadn't had full voting rights in D.C. And I didn't actually know that much about it, but I'm somebody who, a lot of my work is about democracy issues and voting rights. So it just piqued an interest in me and kind of a passion. And after studying those songs by Sweet Honey and the Rock from the 90s. I said to him, I would love to talk to you about making a film, a short film about your work and the issue of DC statehood. And that was that. Then we started filming, and most of the film is shot in 2021 when there was that bump in statehood when it passed the HR 51 passed the House. And there was a lot of renewed energy around the issue. And then we did a whole bunch of filming in the district then, and then, you know, sort of a little bit going forwards in 2023, we kind of picked it back up, and then I edited it this year. But I feel like it's such a big crack in our democracy that nobody knows about. And part of the idea with myself making the film, not being from DC, is how can we tell a really sort of dynamic story about the issue that helps people outside of the district learn about it and get as passionate about it as I am.
Well, you know, you just hit the nail on the head in a couple of respects. Number one, that you're a New Yorker that doesn't know about this. This is one of our biggest problems, right? Is that people don't know about it, right? Because it's really our problem. Regular civil rights, you know, if you look at the civil rights movement, which I know you've done, you know that what happened in the South, once it got on the media, right, on TV and stuff, people all over the country felt that. But nobody really feels our pain, because people in California have representation. People in New York have representation. And right. So that's one really important thing that you've hit on. And the thing that really impressed me about the film was the perspective that you took. Because we've done several things about the history of this. And right. And I find it really interesting. It goes all the way back to the Revolution. But it tends to be somewhat boring, and we have a problem sometimes connecting the dots for people. So I found it just very interesting, and I think it's really great that you're focusing on someone who's lived with this their whole life and has experienced it, and what that personal connection is. Because I think that's the key to storytelling, is it not?
Exactly. Yes. And it was a big challenge in the film to decide, you know, what historical parts to put in and what to leave out. There's so much to say. There's so much there. Luckily, I worked with a wonderful editor, Jessica Congdon, who works a lot with Don Porter, and she edited the award-winning film about John Lewis called Good Trouble, which I highly recommend.
Me too.
Good Trouble. You've seen it. So editing the film over and over again, we kept coming back to what's going to keep people watching and interested all over the country, and all different kinds of people, is an actual personal story. Not, you know, of course we wanted to share some information about statehood and the background and how the district became what it is, because that is interesting and it's important. But we kept coming back to, you know, really focusing on Jamal and his family and his friends and, you know, the multi-generational aspect of the movement. So we just kind of kept coming back to how can we just focus it there. And I think it's hard, because I think, you know, we wish we could have included more activists and more. There's so many great people who have worked on the statehood issue through the years, and I wish we could have included all of them. But again, for it to be a film that actually goes somewhere, I had to think of the craft of the filmmaking as well, right? Because that's what you're kind of saying, that there's been other projects, but maybe not as interesting to a wide. I really wanted it to appeal to a wide variety of people.
Well, that's really essential for our cause. Because until America gets behind this, our options are to get rid of the filibuster, which is very, very hard to do. We would have to temporarily suspend it at the very least, or get 60 votes in the Senate, which isn't going to happen in my lifetime. Hopefully it will happen in your lifetime. But you know, the getting America behind this, and one thing that Jamal said, well, first let me say this, that the fact that you're showing the commonality here, this is a regular guy, he's brain, you know, just kind of an average young person, right? Well, maybe not average, but a young person who we can all relate to, and yeah, to show him with his family, because that's really how we have to relate to people, is it not? We relate to each other. Our commonality falls in that we all love our children, we all love our families, you know, and we all can relate to that. I love the fact that Martin Luther King's granddaughter, you know, said yeah, something as poignant as it's been my experience, young people often do. But, you know, one thing that Jamal said that really resonated with me in the film is that every senator he talked to said, my residents aren't talking about this. And that's right, a big problem for us. I just got back from Nebraska, for example, for speaking before the Senate. I talked before the Senate in Nebraska to get a resolution passed for D.C. statehood. But that's the thing. People just don't know about this, and their constituents aren't putting any pressure on them. So your focus on trying to make this accessible to a wide audience is really, really what I think we need to do. And this must, in fact, let me tell you something. I don't know, have you ever seen the piece that John Oliver did about D.C. statehood?
No, I haven't. I would love to.
You should. Yeah, I'll have my staff email it to you. Mm-hmm. But okay. Or you can go on our website. It's the first thing on our website. We have a website called teachdemocracy.org, and it's the first thing on there. But other than that, I haven't seen anything of the dozens and dozens of films that I've seen that are anything like what you've done, not only in its perspective, but also in the quality of the film. And that's a problem for us, too. You know, a lot of people do this, right, you know, out of the kindness of their heart, but they don't know what the hell they're doing. You know, right, so it's right, nice to have somebody that knows what they're doing, you know, and
I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me, because because you know the issues so well and are so steeped in it. So I really, it means a lot that you feel like it was a good telling and an important in the movement.
And if you can hold the attention of a guy that's been doing this for 18 years and it feels like he's heard everything that has ever been said about it, I think that really says something. And I was not only, you know, I not only looked at it critically, but I also was entertained by it. I thought the music was great. I think that, you know, part of our problem is you got a lot of old people like me involved in it. So, you know, Sweet Honey in the Rock, we know that because that song's been around forever. But some of the newer stuff, we don't know, you know, and that you included people like Chuck Brown, who we loved in this city, and who was so much a part of the fabric of who DC is, really is. So,
and I just want to do, can I do a shout out to his manager and his son, Wiley Brown, who allowed us to use the song in the festival, and, you know, in the version for the festival. And then Wiley Brown came to our reception after the premiere of the film. And it was just, it just meant so much to share the moment with him and them. And they were so excited about the project too. Like, that was beautiful.
Well, he performed for us many times at events that we did. I mean, he was so kind and generous. And if you don't know about Chuck Brown, one thing about him is he was one of the coolest people on the planet. He was just one of those people that exuded, you know, being cool, like James Bond, or, you know, every time you met him, you said, this is a really cool person. So he was a dynamic a force for us, especially with music. Is there, in your professional opinion, is there a place for a longer, more involved piece? A la Ken Burns, can we make you the next Ken Burns?
Oh, that would be amazing.
I don't think it's such a stretch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I thought a lot about that, and I had one conversation with a production company that was very taken with Jamal and was thinking, you know, how can we expand this into a larger piece or do a series, a docu-series. But I think it's, and my editor, Jess, and I talked about, well, can we make this into a feature? We didn't have the money to do it. You know, we right. I had raised the money for a short, so then we would have had to do a whole nother fundraising push.
Of course.
But, I think it's possible to do some, because I think these characters are, and these people in the film are super dynamic. I think the challenge is sort of what happens, right? Because there's nothing right now. There was something happening in 2021, but right now, I guess, well, I could ask you if you feel like there would be things to film. I mean, of course, we can do kind of a retrospective, a historical piece.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I guess there's a lot of different ways to do it. If we did a historical retrospective piece, we could do it more in the style that I do, and make it a little less, you know, sort of just steeped in information and try to make it more dynamic. We could always do that.
It's an interesting story, really, because like I said earlier, it goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War and every part of the civil rights movement we've been involved in. You know, one of the plaintiffs from Brown versus Board of Education was from Washington, D.C. She was a school student. Of course, the March on Washington and Dr. King's speech, probably the coolest thing I got to do, and I gotta say this, is when you did the thing about Jamal and speaking on the mall, invited by Reverend Sharpton, at the same time, I got to stand where Dr. King got to stand on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and give a speech. And that's probably the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. I was so honored to do that. So, wow. I mean, there's,
when was
there's
that? When
the
was
same,
that?
the same day,
oh,
we had a permit to be on the mall, and Reverend Sharpton, we extended the permit to Reverend Sharpton, and they were off doing that march. And the guys from New York who were involved with us said, well, would you like to give a speech and stand on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial? And I said, what, are you crazy? Of course. I mean, who would say no to that, right? But,
wonderful.
And, you know, I've always wondered why people aren't more interested in this, because it's such an anomaly, right? Here we are. Mm-hmm. And I mean, isn't it ironic? We're the nation's capital. We're the citadel of democracy. Yet this is the one place in America.
I know. What is your opinion about that? Why? I mean, I do think when people hear and really understand it, like what happened to me, then they're
yes.
become interested and more passionate about it. But there's, it is interesting. It's hard to kind of figure out how we've let it go this long.
I think most people don't know about it.
Yeah.
And I think that to get people passionate about it, you've got to do the kind of things that you just did. And I don't think we do enough of that. We talk about, you know, democracy and this is a violation of our rights, and you know, it's basically a violation of everything our democracy stands for. And you're right, everybody we talk to says, yeah, you're right. You know, it's very unusual for people to say, no, you don't deserve to have the same rights everybody else does. And so really getting the word out is a big problem for us.
Well, one of the things that Congressman Raskin talked a lot about in our interview, not all of it's in there, but you know, he talked a lot about the history of other states, you know, joining the union,
yes.
And people banding together and you know, petitioning for statehood. And so that part has happened. But he towards the end of my interview with him, which was really fantastic. I mean, he is just incredible.
Yeah,
and
amazing.
I can't wait to show him the film. Congresswoman Norton was there for the premiere on June 16th, but he wasn't able to come because it was Father's Day and, you know, he's busy. But I can't wait to show him the film. But one thing he really talked about was the importance of the people, the young people in the district, like Jamal, really demanding it. Like which I think, you know, that's what they've been working on, but it's this sort of groundswell of people using these new tools and using storytelling and, you know, demanding that it happens. I don't think that's the only way it's going to happen, but I thought that was his kind of one of the important things that he left our conversation on.
Well, I agree with that. And nobody knows better than he does. He has been involved in this issue all along. So that's great. So let me ask you, what about distribution? Any chance of getting this in more film festivals? And
yes, right now we are submitted it to about 15 other film festivals, and we're waiting to hear. So their festivals really that start now towards the next one would be August or in early September, and then kind of go throughout the fall. And then at the same time, I'm working with a person to, you know, a lot on my own, but then I have an executive producer, Diane Robertson, and also a publicity person. And we are sending it around to different streamers and television stations and networks, and hopefully it'll have a premiere somewhere there as well. That's the hope.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Anybody talking to the Democrats? You know, we're all going to Chicago in about 6 weeks. 6 weeks? Yeah, about 6 weeks.
Well, I was actually going to also say that we want to show it at the convention. We've had a few ideas pop up there, and if you have anyone of your listeners have any thoughts about where we could screen, we really would like to show it at the convention. Because I think just to get it there, you know, just in the minds of people at the convention, and it is part of the Democratic platform.
Yeah, it's part of the Democratic platform, by the way, because we fought for it. They took it out a couple of. Yeah, they took it out of the platform a couple of conventions ago, and actually, in response to that, I put up giant billboards outside the convention center, which I think embarrassed the Democrats, and they put it back in. But we do okay. Put them on. Who's the caller? Let's see. Hello, caller.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, this is my name's David. I'm calling from Brooklyn, and I'm wondering, if someone in another state wanted to use this film as a tool to educate people about D.C. statehood, is that a possibility? Is it an option for activists who want to get involved?
Well, that's a question for Hannah. What do you think, Hannah?
Absolutely. We would be happy to have people in other states screen the film and use it in that way. And that's one of the great things about a short film is that we have a lot of, and that, you know, I own it and we produced it through my production company. So we are happy to work with groups all over the country to screen it and use it in educational ways, advocacy ways, entertainment.
Well, thanks for that question, Joe, I'm sorry, go ahead.
How would we get it? How would someone who wants to host, if like a Democratic Party chapter or somebody wanted to host a screening, how would we get in touch? How would we find it?
Well, Senator Brown, will there be information on the website about film? And I have a new website that I can also share with you today.
Please share your website, and you can also go to the BBS Radio website, which is our platform, and we'll have them put up some, we'll get information from Hannah and make sure it's on the website as well, on that website as well.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for that question, David.
Yeah, David, thank you so much. And, you know, we want New Yorkers involved because you guys are tough. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey, and my, you know, every person, every little boy in Newark, New Jersey's dream is to move to Manhattan. Most of us don't make it. It's too expensive. But
what town are you from? What town did you grow up in?
Newark.
Newark. Oh, you said that.
People say Newark, and I go, no, that's in Delaware. I'm from Newark. It's spelled
Newark.
And for us, it's N-U-R-K, you know. But, yeah, I grew up there and moved to Washington when I was 12. So, you know, and I'm about to turn 71. So this is as much home as any place. But spent a lot of time up there. Still have family in Jersey and stuff. And we love it. Love New York, one of my favorite cities. And
It's great. Well, I think we you know, there's a lot of kindred feelings for a lot of the folks here with people and movements in D.C., just knowing other work that I've done. So I think it's great that I was able to meet Jamal here and then spend a lot of time in D.C., and we'll screen the film in New York, hopefully in the fall.
Well, that's great. And, you know, people, you're right, people that are involved in the movement have been involved. People like Al Sharpton, who you showed a clip of him talking about it. He's always been a vocal advocate for D.C. statehood. The first senator, the first person to have my job was the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who, we had him on the podcast not long ago. He's still very vocal. You know, he's in Chicago. He's still very vocal about D.C. statehood. You went to New York for statehood. We have chapters also in California and in Nevada and also in Iowa. And like I said, I just came back from Nebraska, where somebody's put in legislation to support us. And that's part of our problem too. You know, we're like the Mongol tribes, and we need an Attila the Hun to like bring us all together and get us moving in the right direction. There are a lot of people that work on this, different aspects of this. And you know, maybe we can coalesce around the film. That would be great.
Yes, please. I would love that. So yeah. what was the legislation in Nebraska?
Well, there's this young man named Noah Wells. Give a shout out to Noah, who has come up with the idea of asking people that run for public office if they support D.C. statehood, and having them sign a pledge to support D.C. statehood. Now, this is a great idea, and many of the people that he's had that support the idea of D.C. statehood. They don't necessarily get elected. You know, he does it with who's ever running. But, you know, the way politics works is a lot of these people get elected further on down the road. So, you know, he's locking them in early in the process. So he got two legislators, one who felt like you did, a senator who felt like you did, you know, that the issue was important, and the other co-sponsor of this legislation was a former Washingtonian. You know, that's another benefit that we have, is a lot of people filter through D.C. We have eight or 10 of the greatest universities in the country, and this guy was a Georgetown law student, and so he was well-versed in it. And I went out there, to testify in support of it. Unfortunately, got tabled after my testimony because, you know, Republicans don't like this. And the reason for that really is that this is not about democracy. It's not about freedom. It's not about justice for anybody but the people that live in Washington, D.C. For the Republicans, it's about two more Democrats in the Senate. And that's what statehood has always been about. You know, in the Dakotas, they split South Dakota and North Dakota in half so the Republicans could get four senators instead of just two. We all know about the Missouri plan, right? Slave state, non-slave state. They're always worried about the balance in Congress. So Republicans stand pretty much against it, which is another reason why we need to get people behind it to put pressure on them to say, no, this is wrong. And, you know, we have 40,000 veterans that live in the District of Columbia. We served at higher than the national average in the Vietnam War. We pay the highest taxes, which you pointed out in your film, per capita in the country. And we have the guy that wrote the national anthem was a D.C. soldier. The guy that wrote Taps, I'm fond of saying this, was also a D.C. soldier, Congressional Medal of Honor winner, which we have almost 40 Congressional Medal of Honor winners from Washington or recipients. And so every time the flag goes up and the flag comes down, there's a Washingtonian involved. But when it flies over the Capitol, they forget us. You know, and that's what I mean. There's so many interesting aspects to this, you know.
There really are. I didn't know that. I would have included some more of that. Maybe I would love to screen the film sometime in D.C. We have a few more screenings that we're going to do, and it would be great for you to come and speak, too, because and share all of that information that there's these that I think that that's very interesting, all these Washingtonians that have played such important roles.
Well, there's so many different aspects to this, which right from the beginning, when Thomas Jefferson stood up against what they were doing and said, this is wrong, you know, you got to give the people of D.C. the right to vote. And they did originally, you know, the city was founded. It was divided between land that was donated by Maryland and land that was donated by Virginia. And if you lived in the Virginia part of the city, you got to vote in Virginia elections. If you lived in the Maryland part of the city, you got to vote in Maryland elections. But they ended that all in 1801. And, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions out there about it. And like you say, you know, most of the people you meet agree with this. You know, how can you believe in democracy and say that, no, the people that live in the District of Columbia shouldn't have the same rights.
You can't. You can't. You absolutely can't. And I think it's just, so I like your idea. I'm going to start thinking about a longer piece and to add some more of this interesting information that you've shared. Because when as I mentioned, I've shared it with several production companies and other outlets, and they're just fascinated by this whole. They think it's very interesting, and it's also they're wondering, you know, what's going to happen? Is it really going to be the 51st state? And then what's going to happen with Jamal? You know, he's obviously this up and coming leader, and you know, if you following him now, you know what's going to happen in 5-10 years? That's a really interesting story. So I think there's
we need that. You know, we have look. We've never had a stronger advocate for this on Capitol Hill than Eleanor Holmes Norton. But Eleanor is well into her 80s, and we need people like Jamal to pick up the mantle and carry it forward. And we also need that energy, which obviously, you know, that's one of the things I really like about the film too, is it moves well and it's got great energy and the music carries the story and, you know, all the things I think you should have in a movie. Of course, I know nothing about movie making, but you know, that stuff appealed to me. And you know, so we need all that. We need the energy of young people to be involved with this. And it's so hard. It's so hard when you're young, you know. I'm old enough that my first protests revolved around the Vietnam War. But that was an overriding issue. And they were taking us. I was 18 in the middle of the war. I had to register for the draft, and they were taking me and some of my friends were drafted, and my brother was drafted. And so it was an issue that really resonated with us personally. I think that's what you're through Jamal. That's what your film does. It resonates with young people, you know, who you know, or hopefully will, and will provide some energy to the movement. I just think, well, you know,
That's why, yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason. So not only did I want it to resonate with young people, but I think the energy that they, that Jamal and Demi Stratman and the other folks in 5151 brought to it is very inspiring to, you know, all ages, right? And they're like, oh, if there's this energy around this, you know, I think that that's also very inspiring and a good way for people to get involved. And actually, after the screening, a lot of people came up to me and were just like, wow, this is,
yeah,
Jamal is amazing, and wow, this issue. And yeah, even because there were some people, what was nice about showing it at a festival like this is, you know, there were people in the room that were from all over the country because they came to the festival. Wow. It's, you know, the amazing, so it's DC Docs Fest. DC Docs Festival started by two women, Sky Sydney and Jamie Shore, and they do a wonderful job curating the festival and bringing films from Sundance and Tribeca and, you know, very successful documentaries of 2023 and earlier in 2024, and show them at the festival. So all those filmmakers come and they speak. And then she also does, they do about 10 world premieres. So we were included in the 10 world premieres. But that it provided a great opportunity to show it to, you know, local folks in DC who know the story, but also people who were just there for the festival and came to see the film and were like, wow, this is, I can't believe this.
Yeah, well, you know, we have that reaction a lot because people don't really understand this. And it's counterintuitive to think that where democracy is basically made here in Washington, D.C., that we're not allowed to be involved. I mean, it's like, you know, somebody tells you, well, people in Detroit can't drive cars. You're not allowed to drive cars. Or people in California aren't allowed to go to the movies, you know. Yeah. And, you know, everybody in L.A. is banned from going to a movie. And, you know, so it's really counterintuitive. People don't know until you tell them. And, you know, and if this is any incentive for you, you know that there was a documentary film that won Best Documentary, won an Academy Award a couple of years ago for Best Documentary. It was called Fine Food, Fine Pastries. And it's about a little divey restaurant that every real Washingtonian has eaten and no longer exists. But it was a bakery which served breakfast on Capitol Hill forever. And, you know, had a lot of blue-haired waitresses, you know, waitresses in their 70s still serving food. And Fine Food, Fine Pastries, and one Best Documentary. So people are interested in Washington. You know, and that's another thing is we have an image problem. You know, they don't see people like Jamal. They see people that are congressmen and senators. Yeah. And, you know, and I stand up there and I say, we pay the highest taxes in America. But the reason everybody understands is the reason we pay the highest taxes in America is because we're the richest people in America. So it's hard to feel sorry for that, too. But certainly people, young people like Jamal aren't included in that group. And lots of people in large swaths of the city are not included in that group. So, you know, and that's another problem for us too. You know, in the neighborhood I live in people do really well. So they're not.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know that I'm the first house that you come across in the District of Columbia. So one of the things I did was I put up a billboard in my front yard it's a huge warning sign that says basically, warning, you're entering the District of Columbia, the country's last colony. Moving here may result in the loss of your basic civil rights. The loss of your basic civil rights does not relieve you from obligations that you have to the government. And, you know, it's big. And it's out in my front yard in a neighborhood of million-dollar houses. And I was sure that the neighbors would take me out and tar and feather me. But you know what? In 4 years, only one person has had any negative thing to say about it. So
interesting.
Yeah, and it made every TV station, NBC, ABC, CBS, PBS, they all did a little thing on it because they thought. So I've tried for years to do creative stuff, and unfortunately, I don't have the technical skill really to pull a lot of it off. But that's one of the other things that I like about this. It just, your movie just looks like a movie. You know, the things I've seen in the past look like something we would show to a 10th grade high school class, and where they would all fall asleep in the middle of the, film.
I love it that you say that, because that was really the goal of mine. Similar in my last film, Surge, which was about really the record number of first-time women running for office after Trump was elected. Right? There's all these, suddenly there was, thousands and thousands of women running in local elections, statewide elections, and then congressional elections, and we followed three in Texas, Indiana, and Illinois. One of them was Lauren Underwood, who ended up being, she's the congresswoman from Illinois 14th District. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
No, I'm not.
But she's a real star. She's the youngest Black woman to ever be elected to Congress. She was a former nurse and a public health worker. She worked in the Obama administration in the public health department and had been a practicing nurse. And she was just such a star in her district. And all of these women left a career, left something behind that they were doing, like Lauren Public Health. And then we had a communications person, and then we had a woman running a nonprofit. They all said, we have to change our lives. We have to jump in and try to change our communities. And they all tried to flip their red districts to blue. And that was the story. But the point is, in order to make it a kind of dynamic, exciting film, we used great music and we kind of kept it moving, because I think that that's what people are used to seeing these days. So I wanted to do the same thing with this one, with 51st State, and I think it worked.
I think it does too. And, I'm glad to see more women running for office. Now, don't spread this around, because I don't want the guys in my bowling league to stop talking to me. But women are smarter and they're more emotionally stable in a lot of ways than men are. And they should be running more things, especially these days when you see Congress have, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene does not fall into that category. But, sometimes you watch these guys and you go, oh, my God, do they not understand what they're doing? They're sitting up there, the people's, what they do affects everybody's lives. And they're sitting up there fighting I heard that two legislators got in a fight. I forget where it was, somewhere out west, just recently got in a fist fight over a clogged toilet. So, sometimes these guys act like they're children. And you know what? I've been in politics 40 years, and I've never known one woman that was pulled up on charges of sexual harassment. I could count on one hand the women that have been charged with embezzling money from the government. These are all foibles of my gender, unfortunately. So the more women we get up there, the better.
For us also, it's an issue of representation, right? We again, an issue of democracy. The hope and the dream of a representative democracy is that it's truly, our leaders truly look like the people and represent all of the people of this country. And when you have, at that time, it was hovering around 20% of all office holders, local, state, and federal level were women. And so when you have things that are that out of whack, that was part of the idea with the film and showing that it's so important to encourage women to run and that they can do it and they can raise the money. And that it's really important for our democracy because, again, it's an issue of representation in the same way that that the residents of D.C. are not fully represented and lack their voting rights. So these are like many core issues that I'm very passionate about.
Well, and thank God. And yeah, you know, I hate to say this too. Maybe it's cowardly of me because I'm retiring after this term. But you got a lot of old white guys up there too, and
right.
and there should be it should be a more diverse group. My daughters say that to me all the time. They go, "Dad, we don't need another old white guy getting elected." And I go, "Well, I'll try not to take that personally, girls, but you know, I agree with them." So, yeah, that's absolutely the truth. And since you brought up Donald Trump, let me say that one of the problems we have here and that we see with Republicans across the country is they're working on structural change. And you know this because you've worked at the state level. You know they're changing things to put them in a better position. And right. One of the things that Democrats could do to put themselves in a better position would be to grant statehood to the District of Columbia. It is the other side of a two-sided sword, which is that it plagues us somewhat because we don't have any Republican elected officials in the District of Columbia, never had a Republican mayor, never voted for a Republican for president. So it's pretty clear that if we become a state and we hold an election, there'll be two Democrats elected to the Senate. They'll most likely be liberal. But, you know, we should say this is a structural change that should be made to make our government more representative. And it would help the Democrats, it would help liberals, it would help young people. And we know the Senate is set up so that large states out west with large white populations have a lot more pull than East right. Coast states in the Senate. And, you know, there are people that want to expand the size of the Senate. There are people that want to get rid of the filibuster, which actually, you know, a lot of people think that's some kind of constitutional rule. It's not. It was invented. Right. It wasn't even used very often until the 1950s. So, you know, these are things that have to be done, and D.C. statehood could be an intimate part of that. In the movie, Jamal talks about, and several people, Bo Schacht and other people, talk about H.R. 1 and the John Lewis Act and trying to meld our legislation in with them. They were in the House and the Senate at the same time. Of course, all three pieces of legislation failed in the Senate, but in the House we've passed a statehood bill twice now, so there's popular support for it, but it's spotty, and you know, and people, I mean, let's face it, we say in politics, for example, that we're looking at the economy right now and we see that jobs are up and inflation is going down and things are getting better. But as long as the price of bread and the price of gasoline are high, that's all that people see. You know, that's right. What they see. That's how they judge the economy. They don't, you know, not a lot of people, the average American doesn't have a lot invested in the stock market. Most of us either have jobs or, you know, or like me are looking for retirement and being a burden to their children. But, you know, that's the thing with these issues as well. You know, we have to connect the dots. We have to make it personal. You've done a great job at doing that, and we need to do more of it. So what's the next step for you in terms of any other interesting projects that you're working on? I want to give you a minute to talk about yourself and some of the projects you've done and where people can locate them if they're available to the public. And, you know, because I think.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Okay. Because, you know, I made a film and I didn't make it. I paid for it, but it wasn't, you know, it was, we owe it So thank God somebody knows what they're doing is doing it. So tell us a little bit about you, what your next project is, what's going on.
Well, my main goal right now is to get this film into more festivals and to get it into distribution and get it onto a platform or a TV release. So we're working really hard on that. And we have a website, 51ststatefilm.com, which will go live tomorrow. And that's where we'll be sharing all the news of all of our upcoming screenings. So I hope that your listeners we'll go there and join us at screenings around the country. Or again, as we were talking about earlier, if you would like to host a screening, we're more than happy to do that. And we'd love to do one with you, Senator, or anyone you know in the district or anywhere else.
Yeah, of course.
In the country. And then my film Surge that I mentioned, that is on Amazon. It premiered on Showtime. It played live. It had a premiere on a Sunday night at 9 p.m. And then it also went to Showtime on demand. And then now it's on Amazon and also Apple TV for rent.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's and then I have a few other projects that I'm working on. But nothing that's available to really share right now. But I do have another few exciting projects in the works. Because that's filmmakers, we always need to be doing things. And I hope to do every election year. I do some work around the elections, either for women candidates or in 2022. I worked with the Abortion Ballot Initiative in Michigan. And help to pass that, because as we know, since the fall of Roe versus Wade, a lot of abortion rights are under attack, and they're oftentimes these laws in various states are terrible. And so one way around that is passing ballot initiatives, and that they've been hugely successful so far, starting with Kansas in 2022. And now it's going to be on the ballot this year also in Arizona, in Florida, and in also New York State, my state. So I will be doing some storytelling around those issues this year as well.
Well, that's all important. And I should point out that they don't even need to change the law in the District of Columbia. I was arrested, went to jail, and went to trial over the fact that they took abortion funding away from the District of Columbia, because Congress can do whatever the hell it wants. So right. At one point, they took abortion funding, which was our own money that we were funding for poor women. Really didn't affect many women, to be honest with you, but it did affect a handful of poor women. And several of us sat in the street and blocked the Senate and were arrested. And I was a little disappointed in the justice system when the judge looked at me and said, "I really admire people like you. You're my hero. But even heroes can't sit in a damn street and block traffic. You're guilty." So I had to pay $100. You know, the point is that they don't even need to change the law in the District of Columbia. They just have these whims where they do whatever they want to do. You know, they overturn laws, they interfere, they tell us how to spend our tax money. It's just crazy. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for being on the show, and thanks for doing this film, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. And I see great things in the future for you and also for the film, and we very much appreciate it. And you know, we at the end of every show we play people out with a song, and we dedicate it usually to the person that's been on the show. So this is dedicated to you, and I know you've heard Give the People Their Right to Vote by Honey in the Rock, but here's another great song by Nina Simone. It's called I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. So we'll see you next week, folks. Thank you so much, Hannah, for your dedication to our cause, and we hope you have a next time you get your next exciting project, on the books, you're welcome to come back on our show anytime.
Well, thank you so much, Senator. It was a pleasure talking with you. I really enjoyed it. Have a great evening. Yeah.
Me too. Thank you. And thanks, folks. We'll see you next week.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my
Give the people their right to vote.